Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Valadari Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Valadari Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Valadari Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Jamunatira Vanat Chari Jamunatera Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Jamunatira Vanachari Munatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Mandava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Yashodhanandanam Vrajajanaranjanam Jamunatira Vanachari Jamunatira Vanacha Jaya Prabhupada 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 Shiva Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Shiva Prabhupada Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Vishnupada, Paramahansa, Parivirakacharya, Sitarasat, Shishimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Shiva Prabhupada, Ki Jaya. Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga
Hare Krishna. I'll read out a brief introduction of His Grace Kalakanja Prabhu. Kalakanja Prabhu came in contact with ISKCON in 93, and he has been serving as ISKCON GBC Minister for Cow Protection and Agriculture since 2015. He has worked as SPN, which is a Strategic Planning Network of GBC member, since 2013. He was born in Brazil, family of farmers and agriculture professors, and he has been working with farm communities since 1994. He has visited most of his ISKCON farm around the world and currently working on an ethical dairy equation for ISKCON and a platform to assist farm projects to find a simpler and more natural way of life. Along with that, Prabhuji is also promoting successful ISKCON Continental farm conferences all over the world. And currently he is based in Sri Mayapur Dham, India. So let us all welcome Prabhuji at ISKCON NVCC by loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Thank you. Actually, I was supposed to come to Pune many times before. When you open your farm, they invited me, but somehow it was not possible. When your temple opened, I was supposed to come. I could not also come. And in my mind, Pune was always the yatra of the devotee care. So the yatra where devotees nourish each other with bhakti and service. And so this morning, as I was preparing to come to class, even though I give classes in so many places, I was feeling some anticipation and some feeling a little nervous in front of so many wise souls and such a devotees, which is looked upon the whole world as a source of devotee care, youth preaching, vibrant preaching. So here I am in front of all of you. All I can do is ask for your blessings so that I may speak something which is relevant, which is beneficial and pleasing to the deities and to our founder, Charya Srila Prabhupada. So if you agree, raise your hands and say, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Gaura Premananti. Okay, so today I'm supposed to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 34. Is that correct? So let's offer our prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the verse says, Tulayama Labe Napi Naswargam Napunabhavam Bhagavat Sangi Tangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha Tulayama Lave Napi Naswargam Napunabhavam Bhagavad Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha Tulayama Lave Napi Naswargam Napunabhavam Bhagavad Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha. Devotees? Tulayama Lave Napi Naswargam Napunabhavam Bhagavad Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha Lama Lave Napi Naswargam Napunabhavam Bhagavatam Sangi Sangasya Ayatam Utashishaha Vayama Lave Napi Naswargam Napunabhavam Satsangi Sangasya Kanam Kimutashinaha. So, Tulayama, we compare Lavena with a moment. Api, even. Na, not. Swargam, attainment of the heavenly planets. Na, not. Apunaha, bhavam, merging into the Brahman effulgence. Bhagavat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sanghi, with associates. Sangasya, of association. Martyanam, of persons who are destined to die. Kimmuta, how much less. Ashishaha, benedictions. So the translation by Srila Prabhupada is as follows. Even a moment of a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgent in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great saint, Prabodhananda Sarasvati, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, has stated, Kaivalam narakayate tridashapur akasha pushpayate. For a pure devotee, Kaivalam, merging to the existing Brahman, the Brahman effulgence, is no better than living in hell. Similarly, he considers promotion to heavenly planets, tridashapur, just another kind of phantasmagoria. In other words, a pure devotee does not place much value in the destinations of the karmis, the heavenly planets, or in the destination of the jnanis, merging into the Brahma effulgence. A pure devotee considers a moment's association with another pure devotee to be far superior to residing in heavenly planets or merging into the Brahman effulgence. The topmost benedictions for those who are living in the material world and are subjected to the repetition of birth and death, transmigration, is association with pure devotees. One should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. That will make one completely happy, even though living within the material world. This Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose only. For that purpose. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this moment and become immediately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. What an appropriate verse, Vapuni. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Janangana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasaji Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is very special, as every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is very special. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture that was left to replace the association of Krishna when he left the planet. This scripture has the function to enlighten us. And actually it is part of our sadhana, because this is where we nourish our finer intelligence to go back to Godhead. And specifically we're dealing with the prachetas. What an interesting situation. So many sadhus meditating very deeply. And in the last verse, all they were asking for was the lotus feet of the devotee, of Krishna, the lotus feet of the Lord. And in this verse, they're saying, the only benediction we want is the association of the devotees. Now, one cannot be with the other without the other. Because if you want to reach the lotus feet of the Lord, you need the enlightenment from the devotees. Therefore, it's the association of devotees that give that enlightenment. And I made a few notes which I like to say. Lord Chaitanya said that a moment of association with a pure devotee is the highest benediction one can get. And in various pastimes, he demonstrated that with his devotees. And one of these examples is when he's talking with Ramananda Roy. And he says, tell me, what is the goal of life? And he keeps telling something, no. And he says, no. And he says, no. Until he comes up with, he says, the association of devotees here in Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest. And he says, yes, that is the highest. That is the highest goal. One example that comes to our mind in our recent history is in Russia. When Srila Prabhupada traveled to Russia, he found one devotee, Ananda Shanti Prabhu, was initiated later on. And from this one devotee, we can see how Russia is exploding today with devotion. So a moment of association can transform a whole country. Similarly, we are not aware of what is happening when you go on the streets and you distribute books, you give your saintly association. All these people in contact, they are multiplying this chain unlimitedly. Another very interesting point in this verse is when you associate with a pure devotee, immediately you forget about all your problems. I'm not sure if you all have this experience, but you're in front of your Guru Maharaj, you're in front of a very saintly person, everything seems to be forgotten, and you're just in ecstasy, and you dance, and you chant, and you associate, and you want to hear more about Krishna, and the whole life seems to be dissolved. And why is that? Simply because that devotee is in Vaikuntha, and Vaikuntha means no anxiety. So when you associate with such devotee, you are in Vaikuntha. And therefore, as young devotees, young bhaktas, we were always wanting to be with these pure devotees. And that is very pure. Because there was no motivation in that desire. All you wanted is to have more and more of that nectarian association. Later on, we start to rationalize and say, yes, he's pure, but maybe not so pure. And then things start to cross our minds and we lose that Shakti, you know? The conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam is that actually the goal is to take the dust from the feet of the pure devotees. Isn't it? That is the conclusion. Actually, there's a pastime when Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he is in Avadvip Dham. You can see all these beautiful paintings of the Lord's pastime in Avadvip Dham. And there's a person sweeping the floor. And he embraces this person. And some of the orthodox Brahman says, wait a minute, Maharaj, you may be contaminating the Brahman class. This person is a low-class person. You should not touch him. And what is his answer? You all remember? What is the most valuable thing in the universe? The dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. And who is the person with the most quantity of it? Is this sweeper? So let me embrace him because he is the richest person here. You thinking he's poor? He's the richest. He's got the most opulence. So that exemplifies how that dust, that shelter of the lotus of these devotees is so important. And why is that? Because the devotees, the pure devotees especially, they are like transmitters of bhakti. they become the conduit of the Bhakti Shakti. So Krishna is Bhakti, Krishna is everything, but He uses His pure devotees to transmit that Bhakti. So isn't it that all of us came in contact with a devotee which inspired our heart, we read a book, we read Prabhupada speaking to us, and immediately we felt like, yes, this is it. There are examples like one Swami, he's no longer with us, called Somaka Maharaj. He was preaching in Italy, and then he went to Amazon, and he opened a farm community of about 4,000 hectares. And in the Mangalartik, to go to Mangalartik, the brahmacharis had to go through the river, and there was crocodiles in the river. And in the evening, there was tigers roaring, and panthers, and anacondas, and you can see all the stories, you know. And actually, Maharaj made something quite amazing. He started a bullock power unit in the middle of Amazon. And he could cut wood, so much wood, and he built all the houses with that. So this Swamiji was in some place, and he got a book with his wife and friend, and they start reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And after reading, they decided, we have to chant 16 rounds of japa, because Swamiji is saying. And they started chanting by themselves. They didn't even have a japa. They got some kind of, something similar to a japa. And they said, we can't eat meat anymore. We have to be vegetarians. And then they decided, we must wake up very early. Jai Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. We have to do Mangalartik, and they are doing Mangalartik, and they are doing Bhagavatam class, because Prabhupada is explaining the sadhana, and they are following so strictly. So all of a sudden they come to France, and they knock on the house of the devotees. You can imagine here in Pune, one grihastha, his wife, and one more friend, and they said, he opens the door, it's late at night, it's very late, you have to go. And he says, but I read here, we can come and live with you if we want. So I came. What do you mean you came? You don't know anything about us? Well, I read these books. Do you know anything about chanting? Yes, we chant 16 rounds. 16, so they were so amazed. So he joined, and there he stayed forever. And so many devotees, there is a story of a devotee in the Andes that he is there in a cave as a yogi. His name is Kalpataru. And somebody sells a book in the airport. You know, like we're always selling books in the airport. And this person didn't like the book, but he got it. He went to the Andes on hiking. He got lost. He didn't know what to do. Finally, he found this yogi, Kalpataru. And Kalpataru says, I can help you. You just take this road and then you get to your place, and gave him some food and something, and everything was fine. And he said, look, I have nothing to pay you back. I don't have any money, but I have this book which I bought. I really don't like it. Do you want it? So then he took the book. It was a Krishna book. And he read the book. And after he finished the book, he climbed down the Andes. He joined the temple and became number one book distributor. The stories of Kalpataru is famous in South America. I actually got a prize from him. I got a cup which had his signature underneath. I had a great prize of Sankirtan, had his cup. So like this, the power of this is very incredible. How devotees can be like a copper wire transmitting bhakti. And it is very revealing that they're asking for the association of pure devotees. Because what is the Yuga Dharma? Nama Sankirtan, right? And Sankirtan already implies together. Already implies to be associated with one another. Isn't it? And here the Prachetas, they are expressing the mood of this Sangha. What is the mood? The mood has been already revealed in verse number 8. And verse number 8 says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of the King, I'm very much pleased by your friendly relationship among you, by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction from me. So the word is Sauhardena. Is that how you pronounce it? Sauhardena. Is it? What is it? Sauhardena. Okay. Excuse me, my Sanskrit is very poor. I'm learning. By friendship. So that is the mood of that Sangha. I used to think that friendship was Maya. And once, my spiritual master came to me and he told me, he asked me, do you have friends? And my mind started very fast thinking, yes, I have this person who is a judge. I have this person who is an important businessman. And he stopped me and said, no. I'm asking a friend who will pick you up at night if you're sick, who will come to help you. And I had none. At that time, I had zero friends because I thought it was Maya to have friends. It was material. But here we see that the Lord is saying, when you go, is pleasing the Lord. The mood should be friendship. Why friendship? Because friendship allows the well-wish of the next person. You're wishing well for him. You want him to progress. And that progressive mood is what nurtures community, what nurtures society, what nurtures an ashram. It's when you feel that your colleague is helping you out. You have a little trouble, he comes and hears genuinely what you have to say. He just imposes his judgment on you because that's not right, Prabhu. What will the temple president say? He comes to you and he helps you out. Then this deep friendship will last for centuries. Yesterday, Vamsivadam Prabhu was describing how in a prison, devotees were in ecstasy. And how they transformed the prison in Vaikuntha. That was a striking example how that happened. And that was because they're simply following the parampara. And that is the power of following parampara. The holy name is very powerful. Look at Shishupal. He was doing the reverse process. He was blaspheming the Lord. Even then he got liberation and association of the Lord. Ajamil. All of these examples with Bhagavan show that even if someone is sinful, he still can get the mercy of the Lord if he somehow thinks or is thinking about the Lord constantly. On the other hand, if we offend a Vaishnava, then that's the end. Even though the Lord says he will protect your bhakti, but when you offend a Vaishnava, that is the end. Because it's like stop watering a tree. The Vaishnava is the very reason why bhakti shakti is transmitted. So if you cut your relationship from that, then there's nothing left for you. Unless that devotee forgives you and invites you back as the example of Ambarish Maharaj. So it's something to really pay attention with that. Because even if we are chanting, your chanting is nurtured by faith, and that faith is nurtured by the scriptures, and that scripture is given by a devotee. So if you cut that connection, you cut your nutrition. Therefore, humility is the mood of our parampara. If you look at all the acharyas, they are saying humility because that is the flavor in which the parampara affects the knowledge. So if you're becoming very learned, a symptom is you're becoming very humble. If knowledge is providing pride, it's not real knowledge yet. It's on the way. Because Sankhya is very powerful. Once you can desiccate the whole world, you understand everything, you become powerful. So you think, I am powerful. That is the lack of wisdom because that power is not coming from you, not from me. It's coming down as a chit potency from the Lord. And once you recognize that, you're a proper channel for that knowledge to flow. So where does bhakti come from? That's a question. Because we are speaking, for some people bhakti arises, for other people bhakti doesn't arise. Where does it come from? It comes from that faith that a pure devotee has so abundantly developed. And as you associate, it rubs off. And then we get it. And then the next thing is we want to transmit it. Isn't it? That is the process. So bhakti is nurtured by the pure devotees. Therefore, the continuity of bhakti depends on the pure devotee. Even though Krishna is bhakti himself, that transmigration really depends on the devotees. That's why every one of us in this room is responsible for the transmission of bhakti. A person who comes in the temple, the first person that he meets, that's his impression. So if his impression is very good, bhakti will be so much welcomed. So that's why when you see the Hare Krishna movement, this is the Hare Krishna movement. Each one of us, that's the Hare Krishna movement. Because we carry that responsibility of transmitting bhakti. And the rishis, they were responsible for keeping purity. The purity was kept by the rishis. The internal purity. The purity of seeds, the purity of animals. The rishis used to keep the forest pure. Everything was kept pure. Right? Isn't that what we learn from our elders? That the rishis in their ashrams were keeping everything in place, were keeping dharma in place, everything in place. But we hear from this chapter a little further that when the prachitas came up, they saw that the forest had taken over everything. So what did they do? They burned everything, right? They were angry. So a doubt comes. How come a rishi is responsible for actually protecting the purity and he's angry and burning everything? What is the idea? The verse reveals that. Thereafter, all the prachitas emerged from the waters of the sea. They then saw that all the trees on the land had grown very tall, as if to obstruct the path of the heavenly planets. These trees had covered the entire surface of the world. At this time, the prachitas became very angry. Why did they do that? The answer comes in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Prachina Bahisat left his kingdom before his sons arrived after the execution of penance and austerities. The sons, the prachitas, were ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come out of the water and go on to the kingdom of their father in order to take care of the kingdom. When they came out, they observed that the food grains were not being produced and that there were no agricultural activities. Indeed, the surface of the world was practically covered with very tall trees. So they could see that the livelihood of the citizens had stopped. And today there is such a big propaganda that the cows are destroying the planet because when you have cows, you have to cut the forest. And when you cut the forest, you destroy the planet, you create global warming. And look what Prabhupada says just next paragraph. It is not a fact that jungles and trees attract clouds and rain, because we find rainfall over the sea. Human beings can inhabit any place on the surface of the earth by clearing jungles and converting land for agricultural purposes. People can keep cows, and all economic problems can be solved in that way. One need only work to produce grains and take care of the cows. The wood found in the jungles may be used for constructing cottages. And he goes on in his purport. So here you can see how the world is completely deviated. First, the Industrial Revolution says, wait a minute, manpower, and here I'm talking to my IT, right? My IT listeners, how passionate about systems, machines, perfect systems. If you remove the man who is so faulty, he has to get married, he gets sick, sometimes he cheats in his work. let's put here something much more efficient, a machine. So I was coming to Pune, I sat down next to a very young man, and he was into robotics. And I asked him, so tell me, what's the future? How do you see the future? And he was telling me, well, you see, today labor is a major problem. We already found a robot which can work with humans, and we found a robot who can produce a robot. So in the future, everything is very automatized. And then he says, but really, I'm an atheist. That's what he told me. And I said, oh, really? Two questions. He says, but I believe in karma. He says, I believe in karma. Said, oh, he believes in karma. Good. So then I said, when you design a robot, do you observe a human being doing the work so you can imitate that movement? He said, yes. Ah, okay. And you said you believe in karma. So you're suffering from what you've done previously. And who designed that karma? Oh, no God could design that. He said, no God could ever design that. I said, all right. So, but someone must have done it. And then I said, what is your phone? He said, it's +6. Right. So do you believe that if you put on the table silica, iron, you know, wires, iPhone 6 would just pop out and start running and says, hey, I'm an i6. Here I am. He says, no. But you believe that a machine billions of times more complex than this little tiny iPhone is produced from nothing. So he was bewildered. And then we start to talk about a God which is not so judgmental. He says, well, maybe I can consider that. And slowly he could do it. When I was coming to Pune, my driver, or the driver, was very kind at night doing service. He was also an engineer. And he was into valves so that all the fluids can flow very nicely. And I said, isn't it important that we grow our food? He says, yes, Prabhuji, but organic is so expensive. You know, this is cost this much, organic costs 3 times, 4 times more. We can't really afford it. And then I asked him, in your vision, what is the future? Is it like a machine world or a natural world? And he was thinking, he was looking for an answer. And I said, who will produce your food? He says, yes, Prabhuji, you're right. We need good food producers. This is exactly what is happening in the world. The whole world is thinking, if we can alleviate the burden of humanity by gadgets, by devices, we'll be happy. Now, what is being proven is, when the more you get developed, the more entangled and suffering you get. And that's Prabhupada's thesis. So when you look at the temple, it's an embassy of Vaikuntha. You can see how everything resembles transcendental pastimes. And here in Pune, I'm so happy to see you already using solar energy. What a statement. The Lord's energy is converted into energy to serve the Lord. All your waste is going down to a waste management plant, which you're recycling, and you're saying the energy goes back to the Lord to produce something valuable. So Prabhupada's vision was, if you have a farm which is generating pure milk, pure grains, pure environment. The grihastha, see, you have 5,000 devotees in Pune, but they are working. They can't be here in the Bhagavatam class. They have to work hard. Many of these devotees could be on a farm in the Bhagavatam class and then go and do their service in a farm. And their children would have been playing around, plucking flowers from the neighbor, milking the cows, going to the school, rising with values of nature. Birds, trees, friends, going swimming on the lake with your friends without being a big problem. And then coming and worshiping the Lord. So that was Prabhupada's vision for the farms, to have communities which were being protected and producing good food, good ingredients for the deities. And if we follow that model, which we just, some people say, we missed the train. I don't think so. I think this is the moment. Temples established, congregations established, mature people are there in society, So now it's time to think, let's plan the future. Let's start supplying pure food for the lordships and for all these brains around here. Because once you take pure food, you have pure intelligence. Prana, your food is alive. Whoever has harvested some herbs from the garden, you put in the kitchen, the whole kitchen has that incense of, that aroma of life. So that's what Prabhupada wanted. That each one of us was taking pure food, feeling extra energized, healthy, go out and preach. Go out and depict the picture of the spiritual world. If you analyze the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, which is a pure devotee, Madhavendra Puri was thinking about the Lord, and the Lord was thinking about Madhavendra Puri. So he appears to him and gives him some milk. But he's so absorbed, he can't even recognize the Lord. Only after he said, well, who am I? I just missed the Lord completely. You know, the Lord was here and I miss him. And then the Lord appears in a dream and says, I'm here, I'm hot, I'm abundant, come, bring me, worship me. And he stalls the temple, which you all know this pastime very well. But there's one point I want to bring your attention to, that pastime. In the Madhya Lila, chapter 4, verse 102, he's describing how he installed the temple. In this verse he says, each and every family residing in the land of Rajabhumi, each and every family residing in the land of Rajabhumi contributed one cow. In this way, thousands of cows became the property of Gopal. In one moment, Gopal had no cows. Next moment, thousands of cows. Now, what a beautiful system. Because all of a sudden, I don't think he, Madhavendra Puri, hired a Goshala manager and labor and people and a tractor. He didn't do any of that. These cows must have been with the farmers themselves. But they said, this cow is the cow of Gopal. So he was taking care. It's a very interesting thought. And in the purport, look what Prabhupada says. This is amazing. He says, this is the way to install the deity. Construct the temple and increase the property of the temple. Everyone should be enthusiastic to contribute to the construction of the temple for the deity. And everyone should also contribute food for the distribution of prasadam. So you can see his vision coming together. Because if you have a vibrant grihastha community living on a farm, they are protected, their children are exposed to the internet, all this propaganda, to the sanskars of the world today. At the same time, they are producing something valuable which comes here, is offered to the Lord and distributed to the public. A mutual benefit. The brahmacharis, when they are tired of sankirtan, they go to the farm, relax a little bit, study Bhagavatam, do kirtan, get enlivened. So it's a very interesting formula which he was actually proposing. Alright. His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Swamiji Ki. Hare Krishna. And the conclusion, so we can have a few minutes, is one of the duties of our society is to produce pure food. That's one of the duties. Because the deities require pure foods. The devotees who are residing in the temple requires pure food. And that's something we should meditate upon. Now you have acquired a legion of engineers, IT. Let's get agronomists, environmentalists, ecologists, microbiologists. So we can paint some little flowers, little plants, vertical gardens in your buildings. So these two intelligences can go side by side. Yes, I think I'll end here. And if you have comments, questions, corrections, I welcome them very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Yes, Prabhuji. Is there a microphone for him?
Thank you for your inspiring class, Prabhu, and giving us a vision for the future. One question that I have is, how do we balance this this obstacle that we face with so many devotees that join? They come from a city background, and they don't necessarily, they're not used to the agricultural atmosphere. But we know the need for the development of agricultural projects. So how do we take those skill sets where people are raised with, you know, city Kali Yuga samskars, and then moving into an agricultural, agritarian environment? How do we balance that, and how do we overcome that obstacle?
I have two answers for that. The first one is the pioneer method. Japataka Swami was himself plowing the land in Mayapur. It's a beautiful photo. There's four pair of oxen in front of him, and he personally is plowing the land. And Prabhupada said, all brahmacharis should go and plow the land. Are you ready? All these IT engineers here ready to do that? That's method one. Method two is a transition, which seems to be the most natural method. Like by creating experience, last ILS, I proposed a little interesting exercise for the leaders. I put a bull pair with a plow and an expert gurukuli to guide, and I invited the leaders to have a little experience. And you imagine, you know, Lokanath Swami, and then you had Bhakti Sagar Maharaj was plowing the land, and Manu Prabhu from Ireland was plowing the land. Who else? Of the great leaders were actually many sannyasis came to plow the land, and even Mataji. So that was just a small taste, and they literally loved it. Wow, it's so exciting to plow. It's like surfing. And they were happy. Now, people who saw them doing that felt really inspired. Said, wow, the leaders are plowing. And I was going to invite all the brahmacharis to plow the land too. You know, so Prabhupada wanted that. So small places where you can experience that in small doses. Then you gradually build. Now, there are so many things you can do in that line. For example, if someone is producing pure food around, the congregation can buy their and interact with them. You have a farm, small retreats. You go there, start developing. Istagostis, how can we do that? Govardhan Eco Village is doing something already. They are connecting to the farmers, which is the next step. So we, urban folks, can actually engage our intelligence in giving the farmers, we have the sanskara of farming, a connection, a talking point, a connection point. They want to earn something. We want pure food. They need bhakti. We have bhakti. We can start connecting slowly. So it requires a rural vision, a rural mission to do it gradually. But definitely I say the transition seems to be more popular than the brahmachari now go and plow the land today. Right? Are you ready for that? Yes, I hear some Haribols, so that's encouraging. That's encouraging. That is encouraging. Any other question, Prabhuji?
For your enlightenment, especially the mood of friendship, you are mentioning about how it is the mood of being well-wisher of each other, and that's what nourishes the community, family and the ashram, etc. So my question is, Prabhupada is writing here the statement that this Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. And before that he is writing, one should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. That will make one completely happy, even though living within the material.
Madhyama stage, you can see now Krishna in many more places. So your purity level increases much more, and you're capable of also seeing purity in others, not only in yourself and in the deities. You expand your vision of purity. And then when you become a uttamadhikari, you don't see any impurity, everything is Krishna, and you don't discriminate. So it's common that the devotee, when he's getting to the Madhyama Adhikari platform, he discriminates. And that discrimination has to be very carefully monitored. Because why do you discriminate? If you discriminate to feel superior, you lost the point and you lose bhakti. If you discriminate to assist, you caught the you got the train. So that, yes, if you discriminate, what can I do to help? You're really on the right way, on the right path, and bhakti will flourish and you still see purity everywhere. If you discriminate to feel a little better, I am in the saffron color, I'm renounced, he's Grihastha working, he must be. And see, Prabhupada suffered this same vision because he was a Grihastha, but nobody could imagine that he would become the one who would carry bhakti across the oceans. Another thing is, we tend to think that remembering Krishna and not forgetting Krishna is one rail. But they are not. They are two different rails. Just like a train. Someone may be very attracted to Krishna, but he may relapse on the not forgetting Krishna, which is the principles, avoiding some things. So he slips there, but his attraction is very advanced. So we have a hard time to analyze the two things in one same place. So, if he's so pure, how can he have done this? This is not fit for a pure devotee, therefore he's not a pure devotee. Do you understand my point? It's like, attraction to Krishna is one channel, not forgetting Krishna is another channel. So once you understand them as separate channels, you don't need to judge someone who made a little mistake. Prabhupada is a typical example. Karandara Prabhu was his treasurer, and Karandara stole Prabhupada's money, and when he repented, Prabhupada put him as a treasurer. So Prabhupada, oh, how can he stole my money and never trust him again, ever. No, that was his contamination, and bhakti is going to purify that. So Prabhupada could make a distinction about the two things. And there are many more examples, devotees who apparently, or who fell down, and Prabhupada would forgive them, because he could see that they have attraction to Krishna, they're determined to serve Krishna, but they have weakness of heart. And here a distinction is made between weakness of heart and intention to enjoy the world. When your intention has shifted to, I want to enjoy, then the Vaishnavas say, okay. But until the moment that your intention, your determination is serving the Lord, you should consider that intention. Prabhupada did that. So as an individual, if it's not our duty to monitor people if they have done anything, the best policy is to always look at yourself as the most fallen and everybody as the most elevated. It protects you a lot. And you don't lose that. And even Rupa Goswami lost that when he was laughing and someone imagined that he was laughing at him and he lost his bhava. So it's not only for us, even for elevated devotees, that principle is also there. So the association of devotee is the most precious gift which we can have, as was the conclusion of yesterday's brilliant class. And to protect that association, we should be extremely intelligent and really search the wisdom of our spiritual masters to guide us of any doubt which appears. Because that will give us pure shelter. We don't have to work out individually, but we can take shelter in those moments. Right? Still doubts. See, I told you, this is a seminar. Hare Krishna. Okay? Shall we end here? I think time is come over time. Well, I want to thank you all very much. I was a little anxious in facing this audience of very scholarly devotees. I hope I said something which was helpful and fruitful. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.